Now we will turn first to the 14th chapter of the book of St. John, and we're going to talk on the Holy Spirit. Yesterday morning we talked about God the Father, Jehovah, and this morning we shall talk about the Holy Spirit. There are a few things that are peculiar that applies to each one individually that does not apply to the other. Like this, you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit and not be forgiven. You can blaspheme Jehovah and can be forgiven. You can say all manner of evil against Jehovah and can be forgiven. You can blaspheme Jesus Christ and be forgiven. You can blaspheme and say all manner of evil against Jesus Christ and be forgiven, but not the Holy Spirit. There is a difference there. Now, the Holy Spirit does not know the day and the hour that Jesus is coming. Neither does Jesus Christ know the day and hour he's coming. No angel knows the day and hour Jesus is coming. Jesus is the one that told us that. He said, but my Father only. The word only means it is him, and that's all. Nobody else knows it. Now, there is a sermon. Take me an hour to go into all that to tell you why he has deprived Jesus Christ from knowing the day and hour he is to come. But someone beside Jesus knows what day and hour is coming. And that's God the Father. And he said, my Father only knows it, but I do not. So that separates them there in the sense that one knows something, the other does not know. And so we find that each one has their great part that they play in the redemption of man. Now, we are going to get into all phases of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to read you just a few scriptures this morning from the Word about the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I'm referring to some of the things now. You might turn to the 14th chapter of St. John, beginning at the 16th verse. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. The word comforter means one that shares, one that assists, one that helps, one that strengthens. He is not one that comes and said, well, I'm sure sorry. My mama died with that same thing too. Bless your heart. That's not the kind of comfort he does. He comes in, and if you're carrying a load, he grabs hold of one end of it, helps you carry it. Everybody heard me say that, say amen. All right. Now, Jesus said, I'm going, and I'm going to pray the Father that he'll give you another comforter. Now, here is three. One, number one, said, I'm going to go to number two. Said, I'm going to go to number one, and number two is going to pray to number one to give you number three. I, Jesus, pray the Father that the Father will give you the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In heaven there's one, huh? No. In heaven there's two, no. In heaven there's three. There are three that bear record in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost this morning. Now, Jesus is telling us the Holy Ghost is coming. He says now, I'll just throw this in real quickly here. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. You see, I will come to you. I will come to you. I'm going to heaven, but I will not leave you comfortless, because I am going to come to you. How is he going to come to us? Now, get your boots on. This is deep water, but yet the Bible makes it very clear. How can Jesus Christ and God the Father dwell in our life? Ephesians 2:2:2. Ephesians 2nd chapter, 22nd verse. That we are building together a temple, which makes a temple, which we're building together as a temple. Let me just turn and read it real quickly here, because this is very important in the Ephesians. Here you are, 2nd chapter, 22nd verse. It says, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God. You're builded together for an habitation of God. That means a place where God dwells. How? Through the Spirit. Now, that's not referring to Jesus. Whenever all through the Bible, Paul says there, the Spirit bade me not to go into a certain town. That wasn't Jesus. It was not Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit. And only the Spirit had not yet fallen on any of them. It wasn't Jesus had not yet fallen on any of them, because they had accepted Christ. But the Spirit had not fallen on any of them. They were saved, born again, full of Christ, loved the Lord, had the Spirit of Christ, devils cast out, their bodies is healed, but they wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't have it. Bible says they didn't. The Holy Ghost had not yet fallen on any of them. You catching now? You see some things that apply only to the Spirit. So, since we find here that our body is made of what? A habitation of God. And our body is what? It's a temple of the what? Holy Ghost. You say, where's the body of the Holy Ghost? Here it is right here. Look at it. God says, man, I made man as a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a temple, which temple ye are. So that's the end of the line. You don't have to add to it or take from it. Where's the body of the Holy Ghost? Look at it. Here it is here. He is a spirit. He comes in. He dwells in our body. He manifests himself in our body. He expresses himself in our body. And through the Holy Ghost coming in to us, he makes our body an habitation of God. Meaning that beforehand, God did not dwell in us. He dwelt with us. The Holy Spirit dwelt with us. And anointed us. God only got so close to man. But it says that Jesus died that he might bring us to God. That we might come together, make the contact. So then, this is kind of broadening it out a little bit. But Jesus said, my Father and I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. He'll be down there. Then he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. I'm not going to send my uncle. I'm not going to send somebody else. I will come to you. I just read that to you right here. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, how is he going to come to us? We find that with the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, Jesus Christ abides in our heart. Am I right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The words of Jesus said, my Father and I, we will come and make our abode in you. That's a great statement. You can study on that all day. That's a big one. You go to heaven and say, God, Jesus, you said something before you left, and I want you to clear it up. Was you excited? Did you kind of let that fall out before you really thought what you're saying? You said, my Father, Jehovah God, my Father God, and I will come, and we will make our abode in you. Why, yes, son, not only there, but many other places I referred to it. Don't you remember I said that your body is made an habitation of God? So, if your body is an habitation, that's where God dwells. He dwells in you. Made an habitation of God. So that means God comes on the inside. So, my Father and I, we will come and dwell in. Now, I'm talking about what has to happen before God comes in. His Spirit comes in first. And as Christ comes in, we're saved. The Holy Ghost can't come in until we are born again. Now, remember that. Get these things clear. No one ever said, here's a sinner, You go ahead and fill them the Holy Ghost. They'll give the heart to God later and get saved later, but want to fill the Holy Ghost. Oh, no! Whenever they're filled with the Holy Ghost, they're saved first. Yes. You see that? Then after we're filled with the Holy Ghost, our body is made an habitation of God through the Spirit. He comes in and He dwells in our life. Now, Christ is in our heart before even the Holy Spirit comes in. But God, it is God that worketh in you. How does He work in us? Through the Holy Ghost. There's many things that the Lord can't do in us until the Holy Ghost comes in. Then God has access to us. How many miracles did God do through His own Son before the Holy Ghost come in? None. Didn't do any. You say, Brother Everett, how do you know? Because the Bible says He didn't do any. Didn't perform a miracle. Was He the Son of God? The very Son of God. But He didn't perform any miracles and the Holy Ghost came in. Now, when did He get His power? He got His power when He got the Holy Ghost. He said He'd have it before. He did not. He was made like us. I wasn't made to have power before I got the Holy Ghost. He was made in the form of man. Took upon Him the form of a servant. And become obedient unto death. And was subject to temptations just like we are. So we find when the Holy Spirit come into Jesus, He began to form miracles. And you know what He said? He said, after I go to heaven and send the Holy Ghost, He said, you can go out and do the same thing. You can go out and perform miracles too. You mean the preachers? He said, no, I'm not talking about preachers. I'm talking about anybody that'll let their body be a vessel of the Holy Ghost. Now, you say, where's that? He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these that I do, greater, even greater works than these that I do, shall he do. He'll do even greater works. And you say, who's he talking about? Peter, James, John? No. He told us there who he's talking about. He's talking about every one of his children, no matter who they are, that receive the Holy Ghost. You say, how do you know he's talking about you had to have the Holy Ghost? Because it tells you right there. Here's what he said. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Because I go to the Father. And if I don't go to the Father, you'll never be able to do them. I couldn't do them, and I didn't do them until the Holy Ghost come in. You can't do them, and you will not do them until the Holy Ghost comes in. Now, you receive power after the Holy Ghost comes. He said, it's because I go to the Father. Well, what are you going to do when you go to the Father? I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to send you another Comforter, which is the third member of the Godhead. And when He arrives, He's going to come on the inside and take over, and He has with Him all the gifts. Now, what gifts does He have? He has the gifts of miracles. Huh? And He has the gift of tongues. That's why that you get around someone full of the Holy Ghost, they might speak in tongues if the Holy Spirit sees it's necessary. I've talked to Chinese people. I didn't know what I was saying, but boy, there she is going right out of my mouth. In the Chinese, I've often thought that was the craziest language I ever heard in my life. And one day I heard my mouth open, and boy, here it come. Mandarin language, perfect, without a brogue or anything. Talking to a man, explaining to him what he should do. He is asking God what to do, and he was in a confused state. He's a preacher, and right there standing in the Great Peninsula Hotel in Hong Kong, we were joining hands, and the Holy Ghost moved upon me. And I stood there and talked to him until God got through talking to him in his own papa's language. He laughed. He said to his wife, honey, wasn't that the most beautiful thing in the world? She said, honey, that's what you've been wanting to hear, isn't it? You see, there, they don't talk the Mandarin. It's the other, I forget, there's two languages. There, the Mandarin and the, what's the name of it? I can't think of it right now. But anyway, they speak, there's two languages the Chinese speak. But the Mandarin was what his daddy spoke. And he was very accustomed to that. And he loved to hear people talk that. And he said, you talk just like my dad. Without a brogue, every word. Said the Lord just talked right through your lips. Well, I couldn't. If you were to say, Brother Everett, right now, I'll shoot you if you don't give me a word in Chinese. I'd say, go ahead, pull the trigger. But the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost is in. He's the Lindquist. He knows all about it. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in languages. Why? They were full of what? full of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the precious Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not only talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit Himself. And that's one of the things I'm doing. Now, Jesus is telling us about Him. We read there in Ephesians that our bodies made an habitation of God. Let's go back to John, the 14th. We finished there in the 14th, and I've got something in the 15th chapter. Here we are. In the 15th chapter and the 26th verse, but when the Comforter, that's the Holy Ghost, is come, which I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. Now, what's the Holy Ghost going to do? He's coming, and He, this is one of His office works, He shall testify of Me when He comes. Now, with Him is the gift of miracles. With Him is the gift of tongues. With Him is the gift of faith. You ever want more faith? Well, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Spirit in you that possesses the gift of faith. And that is not your faith. Peter said, this man is walking. See him walking here? Never walked in his life. His legs are twisted and deformed and all. But it said, don't look on me as though by my holiness or my faith that he is made whole. He was not healed by my faith. Now here Peter comes up, just Peter and John, sees a man, 38 years old, that had been laid there every day from his, since he got grown. And he was born crippled from his mother's womb. His legs were twisted and deformed out like this and swiveled up. And he couldn't take a step. He was a hopeless cripple from his birth. Peter looks at him under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that has no limitations. And looks at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he grabbed a hold of the man and jerked him up, because there he was sitting with his legs all twisted out and deformed and all. And a second time, God straightened his bones out, straightened his muscles out, and gave him perfect balance. He landed on his feet and he began to leap and shout and walk and was made perfectly whole. Amen. And Peter looked around and said, don't think that is my faith. I don't carry that kind of faith around. He said that was his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man whole. His faith, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. So we go about possessing an uncanny faith that we can have access to. Can I talk in Chinese? Nope. But if the Holy Spirit decides to do it, I can do it in time he wants me to. Huh? Yeah. And I speak in the Holy Spirit every day or so. Very seldom a day goes by while I speak in another language. Yesterday I spoke the Holy Spirit spoke a language through me. It's usually the same language. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't have to, because he knows what he's saying. But it's amazing what he carries on when he talks. Just like this, when God spoke, things happen. But the Holy Spirit is right there when he spoke. Am I right? Did God use the Holy Spirit when he made this world, push the water back, and cause the dry land to appear? It said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. The very thing that you're carrying around and eating breakfast with is on the inside of you. That was what was here that was doing the repair work on this old world, pushing the water back, causing the dry land to appear, making an elephant over here, making a flea jump over here. That same God, through the Holy Spirit, was operating. And God, Jesus said, I'm going to go and pray the Father. He's going to give you one of the members of the Godhead. He's going to send it to earth, and he's going to come as a rushing mighty wind, and the fire will light upon you to let you know this is his arrival. He'll enter on the inside of you. You'll talk languages you never talked before and preach to people from foreign lands, and that's exactly what happened. You shall receive power. That's when the Holy Ghost comes in. Now, you could have said to Mary, Mary, you need to accept Jesus. Said, I have accepted him, but I need the Holy Ghost. Peter, have you accepted Christ? Yes, but I need the Holy Ghost. I can say to anybody today, have you accepted Jesus? Yes, well, you need the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, here it says, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, let's turn to the 16th chapter real quickly here, and we'll see just a few more things here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's the 7th verse of the 16th chapter. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. I go to heaven. For if I go not away to heaven, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Now, that's the third member of the Godhead. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I will not send it unto you. I will send him unto you. Now, I will send him unto you. And when H.E. is come, when he is come, that's a personal pronoun. He, again, the word he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's going to intelligently take over and reprove the world of sin. Now, the Holy Ghost is a million times smarter than any of you. And he also has with him the gift of knowledge. Am I right? And the gifts, Jesus Christ said he ascended on high. And when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. One of the gifts is the Holy Ghost. But the other gifts are the gifts that are in the Holy Spirit, resident in the Holy Spirit. Now, when folks say, well, I managed to finally get one gift. I've got the gift of discernment. You know, they need to, if they had it, they discern their own spirit, maybe they haven't. And then, oh, I've got four gifts. I've got two gifts. No, God may use you with a certain gift. But the Holy Spirit, it is a spiritual gift and not a human gift. It does not run and operate by human energy and power and effort. It operates under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When you are operating under the anointing of faith, it's just as much under the anointing of the Holy Ghost as it is when you are anointed under the gift of tongues. You're speaking out. You don't know what you're saying. The Holy Ghost is doing it. And then here comes the interpretation. You open your mouth and it comes out. Do you say, boy, see what I did? Well, that's me. I've got it. That's mine. Oh, no. You have the Holy Ghost and you yield it. And he uses that gift through you. You see. So he has gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom, gift of discernment, of discerning of spirits. And you know, we need that. There are times that you need to be wise, because there's a spirit in a person that needs to be discerned. And if you have the Holy Ghost in you, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And we can discern the thing that's needed to be discerned. He didn't say you go around and discern all about, oh yeah, I see what you've done. You've got a bug on the chip. I'm going to go tell your husband. And then you go ahead and start a lot of fuss and trouble. No, when God gives you the Holy Ghost, he calls you to mend people's lives, bring them together, build them up. Not run around gossiping, said the Lord showed me something. I had a woman, she's having trouble everywhere she went. She came to the church there a few mornings. And one morning she came to me and said, you know, she knew that I was kind of setting on her kind of heart. She said, you know what the Lord told me to tell you? I said, uh-huh. She said, you do? I said, yep, sure do. She said, oh, well, you mean how come you know what he told me? I said, because I know what he told you. Because I've been knowing God a long time. He told you nothing. She said, what'd you say? I said, he told you nothing to tell me. I said, God has got intelligence. And I said, God knows that I wouldn't believe one thing you delivered to me. And I said, whatever you have to tell me, peddle it somewhere else. Don't waste your time. When God sends a message to you, he's going to take a vessel that you've got confidence in. That's right. And I knew her life. And so, sure enough, she busted up and left a few days and went over to another church. And about a week after that preacher called me and said, Brother Edward, I could wring your neck. I said, how come? He said, why didn't you call me and tell me? Well, it's up to him to find out like I did. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. It's better that I leave earth, that I am not here. It's better for you that when you walk into a village, that you do not have Jesus Christ with you, that you have me up in heaven sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and that you have the Holy Ghost not with you, but on the inside of you. It's expedient for you that I go to my Father and send the Holy Ghost than if I stayed here with you and the Holy Ghost didn't come. So, what is it? It means that we are in much better shape here this morning with the Holy Ghost in us than if Jesus Christ was sitting right here and I'd sit down by him and say, "Hello, Lord, how are you?" He'd say, "Fine, son, how are you? God bless you." And I wouldn't have the Holy Ghost, and he would. And I'd be with Jesus, but I wouldn't have the Holy Ghost. He said I'd be far better off if he'd go and leave right there and go to heaven, set the right hand, and send the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, and put him in here. Why? Because he's capable of doing anything much better with the Holy Ghost in you than if he was right by you. That's what he said right here. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But now listen. But if I go away, but I will not. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, he had obligated himself when he went to heaven to do something, didn't he? And when he went to heaven, he said, "Now, boys, remember what I said. Don't leave Jerusalem. Go and tarry." He said, just stay there. Don't be leaving. And I'll send you the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all in one place. You'd walk in just before that, say, "Hey, how's everybody?" They'd all say, "Fine, fine. Sit down and begin to praise God." Said, "It might happen in a minute." "Oh, what's going on here?" "Shh, shh, sit down. The Lord's going to send the Holy Ghost." "Well, y'all been up here all day." "Oh, yesterday and the day before." "Shut up, sit down, begin to praise God. He said he's going to send the Holy Ghost. We're waiting for it." And they sat there. They wasn't kneeling. They're just sitting there, praising and blessing God. Yeah, here's the way they were doing it. They were just sitting there. None of them was standing, it said. None of them was kneeling. They were just sitting, praising and blessing God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you say, suppose there they'd been there 7 days. The Bible says so. Now suppose in that 7 days they got sleepy. Don't kid yourself. They got sleepy every night. But they're still there. You say, Will the Holy Ghost come on them and sleep? He can. He can do that. But he woke them up. Did you ever have a hurricane hit your house and tear off one side of it and you lay there and sleep through it? Brother, God sent a hurricane down there. And it said there come a sound from heaven like a what? A rushing and a what? Not a little wind, was it? Not a big wind, but a mighty wind. Whoosh! Boy, when that come, if anybody was dozing, whoo, like that, there come a sound first, like a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And then after the wind began to blow and everybody was awake, and whoo, hoo, praise the Lord, and there's right ready, then here come a cloven tongues of fire. Everybody looked around, they saw a fire just coming from heaven and lighting upon them, and all at once the Holy Ghost entered in and they began to talk in tongues. That's the baptism. You say, "I didn't get it that way." I know that you wasn't there. But on the household of Cornelius, they all got it there. Every one of them received it there. They just sat there and began talking tongues. And Peter said they got the same thing we got at the day of Pentecost. Same thing. And ever since then, the initial arrival has already come. Now, you don't have to tarry for it. You just come and believe and begin to praise him and he fills you. So, we'll go right on here. So we find here that when he comes, he'll reprove. What's he going to do? The job of the Holy Ghost is to reprove. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you now, but you cannot bear them. I've got a lot of things. Listen to this. I've got a lot of things I'd like to say to you. Go ahead. Peter said, go ahead. John said, go ahead, Lord. We know you. We've been with you 3 years and sleeping with you in the little tours here and yonder, waking you up of mornings. Come on, Lord, we got breakfast ready. And we talk your language. We're buddies. Yeah, I know it. But I've got a lot of things, Peter, that I couldn't tell you. But when you get the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you. I'll reveal them. But you cannot. It's that eyes never seen, ears never heard, never entered in the heart of man things God has prepared for him. But the Holy Spirit hath revealed them unto us. How did you get it? Holy Spirit. What knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Neither knoweth any man the things of God, but the spirit of God which is in him. The things of God are not known by that guy out there that's full of the devil. And you're saying, hard-headed, I know it. Why don't you know it? Because he's blind. He needs to be turned from the power of Satan unto God and open his blinded eyes. But now let's go on here. And that's what it says here. I'm going to reprove. And I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But when I go away. Now let's finish on. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, you say, I receive the Spirit of truth. Yeah. Well, now, when will the Holy Ghost come? You got him. Holy Spirit. You say, well, how many names he got? Well, how many names has Jesus got? His name is Vine. How many more? Just dozens and dozens and dozens of more. And they're his name. His name shall be called. And he goes on to give a long list. And all the way through. He's the light. I am the bread of life. And goes on and on and on. He's the Son. And the Holy Spirit has many titles. And the Holy Ghost, somebody said, well, now, Brother Hibbard, is there any difference in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? Any difference in the Holy Spirit? Some call it grub, some calls it food. But it all depends on how you like to call it. You sit down at the table that's set, and it's filled with stuff to eat from one end to the other. They call it grub. And you say, what do you call it? Said, I call it food. One person said, what is it? Said, the Holy Ghost. Well, what else is it? It's the Holy Spirit. Now, a ghost is, we often refer to it as the Holy Ghost. And sometimes people, they associate ghosts, you know, because of evil spirits that haunt houses and stuff. You know, and they connect things with ghosts, and they would rather say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, and you can call it the Holy Spirit, and God calls it the Holy Spirit. And then many times they didn't even call it the Holy Spirit. They didn't even call it the Holy Ghost. They called it the Spirit. Paul said, the Spirit spake unto me and said, I will send the Spirit unto you. The Spirit had not yet fallen upon any of them. The Spirit refers to the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the third member of the Godhead, you see. Now, and I am giving you what God's Word says about it. Now, when the Spirit of truth has come, notice this, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, that is one of the most fantastic statements, one of the greatest in this Bible, one of the greatest. When I send the Holy Ghost to you, it's better that I leave and go up. Said, you can get off and take every kind of an error. I'll leave you 15 minutes and some guy's poured a bunch of rotten slop down your goozle and you're believing it and led off into error. He said, when I send you the Holy Ghost, he's a guide. When I send you the Holy Ghost, he's a teacher. He will guide you into all truth. Nothing will bring you out of error and put you shouting with a real experience in your soul quicker than getting down and getting this Holy Ghost that God's talking about. He can talk about it and say it's of the devil. There's not one thing connected with it, even kin with the devil. Makes you throw away your tobacco. Makes you throw away your liquor. Quit your cussing. I cuss. Ask God to forgive me. Cuss again. Ask God to forgive me. I was ashamed of it. But I'd cuss, couldn't talk without cussing. I just cussed and cussed and cussed and cussed. And I was sorry of it. And finally, when I came to God, I was warped up every way. But when I came to God and was filled with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. I never uttered a curse word from that day to this. Why? He came in, took over, had a house team, raised up the widow, and just began to bail out everything in me that wasn't right. And that's right. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He sanctifies you. And that's what the Bible says. Offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now there's a sanctifying by the blood. That comes first. Then there's a sanctifying by the Word. And then there's a sanctifying by the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost takes the Word and keeps sanctifying you until the rapture takes place and you start shooting up. He's constantly working on you. Now, it says here, He will guide you into all truth. We have a lot of people, if all the different preachers in the denominational churches would get the Holy Ghost and be filled with it and be led by the Spirit, the Holy Ghost would guide every one of them out into the truth. You can take the Pentecostal doctrine, the Holy Ghost. We have thousands of preachers that have come out of every denominational church that you can imagine. I said thousands of them. Some of the greatest preachers today that are filled with the Holy Ghost and they have miracles performed in their ministry came out of a dead denominational church and came in and filled with the Holy Ghost and put their old way of worship behind them, and they've come out and they're just like any other person that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Out of every denomination, I don't care what you talk about, they come out of Catholic, they come out of Jewish religions, they come out of Methodist, Nazarene, Baptist, and Episcopalian, and Lutheran, and Presbyterian, and these are individuals that do not believe in receiving the Holy Spirit as we believe in receiving it today, like Peter, James, John received on the day of Pentecost. But the world is filled and spreading out now all over the whole face of the earth by the millions upon many millions that are receiving the Holy Spirit, and it has never been withheld. It is for us. It will abide with you forever, it said. I read it to you just now. So they come out of all those different ones, come into full gospel and into Pentecost and receive the Holy Ghost. How many of them ever then turn around, leave and go into something else? They don't. And brother, when they do, they have to be double dead, twice dead, and plucked up by the roots. You don't see them going out of this into others. Why? Because you have the Holy Ghost that guides you into all truth. And so there's many, many ways that we have here. No reflection to other people that are good, that are walking in all the light they have. They have Christ, but they're mixed up. Some of them are honest and sincere in it. And many of them may make heaven as quick as you because they're mixed up in their mind, but their heart is right with God. So we don't pull strings and say they are not Christians and they're not going to heaven. We just talk to them exactly like they did back there in the days of Paul. Apollos came through. He was full of the Spirit. He loved God. He was in an organization that didn't believe in the baptism, or that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But he was mighty in the Scripture and had the Spirit of God, and he was a child of God 100% on his way to heaven. And he got up to preach. And Apollos said to Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla said to Aquila, said, "Hey, I don't think he has received it yet." Aquila said back to Priscilla, "No, we'll have to talk to him a little bit." So the Bible says in the New Testament here, it said when he got through, Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos aside and they sat down and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then Apollos received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Paul went up the coast of Ephesus, and he found those boys up there that were John the Baptist's followers, you know, and they were all going to heaven. I'm trying to stay on the Holy Ghost as a person. And so when Paul got up there, and he sensed that they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Brother, when you get in a congregation, you can tell it. And when it's died out in people, you can sure tell it too. Huh? So Paul said, "Brethren, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, we don't even know whether it's given yet or not." That's funny. "Under what was you baptized?" "John." "John the Baptist said we're that's the way we were baptized." Well, he said, didn't you believe what John said? John told you every day that he baptized water, but there's going to come another and fill with the Holy. He'd fill you with the Holy Ghost. Said, it's given now. Everyone's receiving it. Do you want it? Oh, yes, we want it. Said, well, line up. So he lined up, and he laid his hands on them. They raised their hand, and the Holy Ghost came in, and they began to talk in tongues. Paul smiled and said, that's it. He stepped to the other one. Why? Because he's through with this, and he's already talking in tongues. Jesus said, these signs follow them that believe me. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Am I right? How? Because you've got the Holy Ghost. You see, how can you cast out devils if you don't have the power of God? So we need the Holy Ghost. So we were speaking about the Paul laid his hands on all of them, and as he laid his hands on all the brethren, they all spake with tongues and magnified God. Now, were they just saved when he laid his hands on them? No, they're already saved. That was an experience that God had given them that doesn't save you. The Holy Ghost don't save you. Some folks say, you're not saved till the Holy Ghost comes in. Well, how in the world is you ever going to get in? Because you can't get saved till you are. You can't receive the Holy Ghost till you are saved. Said, the world, unsaved, cannot receive it. Jesus said, that's it. No use trying. You've got to be saved to receive the Holy Spirit. So, we don't say our brethren are lost, going to hell. We just merely say, come on over where you have the gifts, where you have the Holy Spirit, where the electric lights turn on. I'm not saying you can't burn a coal oil lamp, but I say electricity is a lot better. You see. And Now notice right here it says, when the Holy Ghost comes, here's one of the missions of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit shall come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Ghost will not speak of himself. When he speaks, he'll not say, I, the Holy Ghost, done so. You don't ever hear that. When he speaks of Christ. And isn't that true? You never did hear him speak of himself. When he comes, he'll not speak of himself, but whatever, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. He's a great listener. Whatever he hears, that he speaks. He'll speak it. And it won't be you talking, it'll be him. And he will show you things to come. He's a great listener and a great speaker, but he don't speak of himself. He listens. To who? To you? You think he listened to you? He don't listen to nobody here on earth. Jesus is up on the throne. And the Holy Spirit comes in. And the minute he comes in, what happens? He takes over and sets up housekeeping and reaches down, grabs the microphone, said, hi, SOS, calling from earth. This is the Holy Spirit. I just arrived. And somebody said, well, what are they doing? I never hear him speak like that. That's other tongues. I mean, unknown tongues. Unknown tongues. Well, that's my wife. She never spoke that kind of language in her life. She's doing it now. The Holy Ghost is coming in and putting a message back to heaven, letting them know he's arrived in the temple and he's set up housekeeping. And now when they talk in an unknown tongue, what is that? It says no man on earth can understand him. Because it's not Chinese language, not German, not Italian. On the day of Pentecost, it was other tongues because God wanted them to speak in other tongues so they could hear. And many times we do speak in other tongues. But when the Holy Ghost wants to talk to the Father or give instructions to angels to come to a certain place, for the angels are guardian angels to keep us, lest we dash our foot against a stone, angels of God encamp around about those that fear him. There are times when reinforcements need to be sent in. That's why he wakes you up at night with your stomach rolling. You've got a terrible burden. You go and you wake up, you don't know what to pray for his yacht. You raise your hand and begin to say, Lord, what is it? Oh, God, take over. And all at once the Holy Ghost comes and begin to talk in tongues. He's giving instructions what to do. He'll not speak of himself. And it says when he speaks in an unknown tongue, no man on earth understands him. For he speaks unto God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And now, and the Lord sits on the throne, and he picks up his microphone, And the Holy Ghost said, here I am. Okay, tuning in, you know, like these CBs, you know. And he said, all right, I want him to preach on so-and-so. All right. And the first thing you know, I get up there and here it comes. Here it comes. And you say, well, is it the Holy Ghost? Any inspired utterance is prophecy. Any inspired utterance. Who is the preacher? What am I? The oracle of God. That's what the Bible says. We are the oracles of God. I am the mouthpiece of God. Over my mouth speaks. It said when you're brought before magistrates and powers and your enemy, your adversary and all, don't sit down and shake and worry and think, what am I going to say? Oh, they're going to bring me before my God. He said, don't think of a thing. Just go up there. Just go up there. Now, you won't talk in tongues. If you did, they wouldn't understand a thing you said. But when you go up there, I'll give you a mouth. He said, that's all right. I got one already. He said, not the kind I use. He said, I'll give you a mouth, and I will give you a wisdom. And you'll open your mouth, and you'll begin to talk in their own language. And you are understanding everything you're saying. And they will not be able to gainsay nor resist it. Because it is not you that talk, but the Holy Ghost. You say, well, now what does that mean? Exactly what it said. It's not you that talk, but the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, brother, the Holy Ghost can take over and speak right out. You go to your next door neighbor, and God said, go over and speak to him. I don't know what to say. Well, that's a howdy-do you do. Go over there and open up. You can't say no more than said, how are you this morning? Say, and about time you say, it'll hit you, and boy, here it'll come. And you'll tell that neighbor, you'd be surprised what you'll tell that neighbor. Jesus said, you're not a witness to me now. Said, you're old dum-dum. And said, you go along and said, you're an old timid. Oh, I can't talk to people. But he said, these signs shall follow. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Because when you open your mouth and begin to talk, the Holy Ghost is going to anoint you, and you're going to find out that it works. You shall be witnesses unto me. Try to keep your mouth shut. You can't do it. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the utmost parts of the earth, you'll talk about it everywhere you go. You'll be a witness. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, that's exactly what happened. I told God right straight out, I said, God, I'm timid. I can't talk. He said, I'm not asking nothing about that. I said, will you preach the gospel if I call you? He called me, and I open my mouth now. I'm not timid, and it's been going for, I won't tell you how many years, but a long time. And it's still there. Now, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. It says here that he's going to come, he's going to guide you into all truth. Don't forget that. Let that stay with you. He is a guide. He's a guide. Tell about a fellow not too long ago. He said he had this fellow that was a guide taking him up here elk hunting. And he's out there and this fellow's going along, you know, and he hadn't said nothing in a good while. He said, man, he said, you know, he's just following him wherever he went. And he said, boy, he said, man, he said, I'm sure lost. God said, man, you know, don't have nothing on me. I am too. Right about that time is when you have a little funny feeling in your stomach when your guide is lost. But how many are glad that God sends you somebody and every now and then you say, honey, hold the even keel. Lord, I don't know what in the world's going on. He said, just hold still. I do. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Is that right? Come here, sister, just a minute. See? You know, now, you don't, when I said come here, you didn't know. You see, I'm leading you. Yes. Huh? Yes. And you don't know where you're going, do you?
No.
Because I just reached down, took your hand, said, follow me. Is that right? Now, you do the leading. You don't have to do the thinking where you're going, but you are led by the Spirit. Spirit is a person. Right. Said he, him. Himself. He's an intelligent person. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. God never did lead you over to take your neighbor and give her a piece of your mind. No, he didn't. He'll lead you over there and knock on the door and say, honey, I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. But if there's anything I can do, I'm sorry for anything. I want you to forgive me of anything you might have thought I'm guilty of. And I don't want us to have any ill feeling. You'd be surprised how many things would be mended up. And instead of blowing your top, say, well, listen, we may not agree on everything, but I love you. And remember, I'm going to pray for you. I'm planning on going to heaven, and I want you to go. I don't want anything in our hearts. And they may say, all right, slam the door. But ooh, how hard it is for them to live with themselves when you've acted like that. But when you boo, 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 boo like that, slam the door. Oh, it's easy for them to live with themselves then. So, I am giving you the words of Jesus right at the very last before he goes back to heaven. And now notice here, I'm still reading. It said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he, the Holy Ghost, will show it unto you. Do we realize that that's what the Holy Ghost does when he comes in? How many ever read the book of Jude where it says there, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost? How are you going to build yourself up in the most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost. How can these guys today that are fighting the Holy Ghost get behind the pulpit and tell their congregation how to build themselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, when they don't even believe they can have it? And they don't believe the Holy Ghost can pray through them. And the Bible said, we don't know how to pray for, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Ghost will pray through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he knows how to make intercession for the saints of God according to the will of God.
Right.
There's someone that's desperately in need of help. They're going through a struggle right at the point they might tip it and go the wrong way. And the Holy Ghost lay a burden on you and you get down and begin to pray. You don't know what to pray for, short, but all at once the Holy Ghost begins to pray through you because he's making intercession for someone according to the will of God. Now, you're depriving God of that privilege when we do not have the blessed third person of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Now, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. I could go on here. It goes on to say that he guides you into all truth. And it said here, it said, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. That means that, and just like I said a while ago, the eye has never seen, ears never heard. It's never in the heart of man the things that God's prepared for them that love him. But we have a little priority. But the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. You see, we got a kind of a little peep in while the world has never understood it. But because we have the Holy Spirit and he takes of the things of the Lord and shows them unto us. Now, I've had the Lord to show me a lot of things. I sat down one time and I needed to help a man that was breaking up a home. And I knew that they were contacting each other. And this man had a family and he had a wife and had some children, two children. And this man was trying to break up that home and I knew it. And I got down and prayed about it. And I said, Lord, I said, this thing needs to be stopped. And while I was praying, you know what the Lord showed me? Like a motion picture. You know, it's amazing what the Holy Ghost can do. And I saw this woman standing. And then I looked and I recognized where she was standing. She was standing uptown in Houston at Main and Prairie, the corner, the Crest buildings there. And over her head was one of those iron things, you know, you come down on a fire escape. And I looked at her and she was standing there on the corner. And people was walking by just like a motion picture. And all at once, I saw a man coming. And it was the man who was trying to break up the home. And I saw this man come. And walked up to her and met her right there. And then, boom, just like that, it changed and showed me a great big clock. And it was 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. And I knew that was that night. I knew the next day she's going to meet him. So sure enough, I checked, and she'd left the house, supposed to go to town. And I went to town, and I was in a car, and I was at the far end, but I couldn't turn around the corner and go. And I looked at my watch, and it was about 45 seconds to 10 o'clock. And I had 45 seconds to get down. I knew I'd miss it if it went around. So I just double-parked my car. Car's right behind me. I left the motor running, jumped out, and I guess they wondered what in the world was wrong. And I ran as hard as I could down the corner, and just as I got the corner, there he was about 10 feet coming to meet her, standing right where God showed me, on my knees. Brother, you talk about television? God's got the drop on them way back there. Huh? So I took both of them, carried them out, and so after it was all over, I said to him, I said, now, are you ready to go to hell or are you ready to go to heaven? What you going to do? You're going to either take this woman or you're going to leave her alone. And then he said with tears, he said, I cannot. He said, it's wrong. I have committed adultery. If there's mercy in God's heart, I want to get back to him. I said, you want to get back to God? He said, yes. I said, get in the car. He got in the car and I carried him to a place. We went in and I prayed him through and he talked in tongues. He never touched that woman. He went straight, and the rest of his life, years and years later, he was a grown man then, but he was way up in years. He sent word to me. He was talking to a fellow. He said, I never met a greater man in my life than that fellow. He said, he's a man of God. He said, he helped me when I needed it. And I could stand here for a long time and give you one experience after the other where the Holy Ghost can show you things to come. When he shows you, you're not going around, oh, God showed me what was in Sister Who's heart. And, oh, old hypocrite, God didn't show you nothing. The devil did.
That's right.
When God shows you something about one of his creatures, he is going to show it to someone that will handle it like you'd want someone to handle your soul. You'll do your best to try to mend them and bring them back to God. It will be for the uplift of that person, and that's what the Holy Spirit will do. So the Holy Ghost shows you things to come. That's not Jesus on this end of the line listening to the Holy Ghost. You see, we get it all warped up if we put the Holy Ghost at the right hand of God the Father and have Jesus here not speaking of himself, but he listens to the Holy Ghost and whatever he speaks. It didn't say that. It said Jesus is on that end of the line and the Holy Ghost is on this end of the line. And he listens to the Lord, and whatever the Lord tells him, he speaks and he shows you things to come. All of those things. How could a person do without the Holy Spirit? He gives you power. You shall be endued with power from on high. You shall receive power, heavenly power, not earthly power. And how can we cope with the powers of the devil just in our own human power? We can't do it. We need the endowment of the Holy Ghost to cope. It said we pull down the strongholds of Satan. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He dwells in our temple and shares our body with us. And then when we are anointed by the Holy Ghost, we can do things. The Holy Spirit, the anointing, is that which qualifies you to do that which you cannot do. If you cannot do it, it needs to be done, then the Holy Ghost can anoint you and qualify you to do that which cannot be done. Now, the Holy Spirit said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit comes in. Now, he can grieve and he can leave you, and he will leave you. But then if you get down and pray, he'll come back if you sincerely repent. But there is such a thing as grieving the Holy Spirit. And when you grieve him, it says, in the day that you hear his voice,